Hello, everybody. Welcome to Directly Speaking, a D2C Marketing Leaders podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce spaces. Together, we hope to explore industry trends, lessons, best practices, and inspiration from their point of view. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster. We're glad to have you with us today as we feature BJ Jacobs, VP of Growth for Harper Wild, a women's intimate apparel brand featured on the 2023 Foremost 50 of Breakout Direct-to-Consumer Brands. Harper Wild, inspired by Harper Lee and Laura Ingalls Wilder, provides women's bras that you can feel good in and about, and they are committed to lifting up the next generation of leading ladies. BJ leads all things growth at Harper Wild, including performance marketing, influencer marketing, lifestyle marketing, and digital product. BJ, we're happy to have you with us today. For our listeners who don't know your brand, why don't you begin with telling us about your Harper Wild and your journey that led you there?
Sure. Harper Wild was founded by two incredible women that met in business school and really genuinely were dissatisfied by the way that intimates were sold to them. Growing up, they said there's no way that underthings would be sold to men, the way that underthings have been sold to women for a few generations, and we can do better. And set out to not only make the most comfortable underthings, but also make the world a little more comfortable for womankind. And we landed with Harper Wild, enjoyed an incredible couple years. I joined Harper Wild about 7 months ago, met the team about a year prior, and have been watching from the sidelines and couldn't sit on the sidelines any longer.
Yeah, tell us more about that. How did you end up coming on board?
Sure. So I've perpetually been a student of direct-to-consumer. Was very fortunate to start my career at the New York Times as the New York Times was making a direct-to-consumer transition from primarily an ad-supported business to what we now know as the digital subscription business, which has grown to a more and more meaningful part of the New York Times success and revenue story. Really kind of cut my teeth in all things direct-to-consumer. Spent some time at Royal Caribbean, a holding company for some of our favorite cruise lines. As Royal Caribbean really focused on driving revenue through e-commerce, long history of leveraging the travel agent community, but had not quite figured out how to connect directly with consumers. So got to watch some of that evolution and been in high growth startup since that role. Got to watch direct-to-consumer businesses start in these huge storied brands, and then have been lucky enough to spend some time with what I think will be the next generation of storied brands. My first growth role in direct-to-consumer pure play was at Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's.
Great brand.
Consumer brand, certainly. Spent some time working as a consultant for Goop, and then joined and spent some time in LA with the team as we enjoyed some pretty incredible growth. Untuckit, the shirt designed to be worn untucked.
Another great brand.
Which I got to watch this amazing brand kind of blossom from everybody's favorite online and catalog retailer to an omni-channel business with, when I left, we were up to 26 retail stores. When I started, I think we were at 3. So in a short year, grew that footprint very quickly. And then a little bit of time at some pre-launch startups, a couple very exciting ones, Kangaroo in the home security space, and most recently By Heart, which is a infant formula and infant nutrition brand that recently launched and is doing some incredible things in an industry that has not been meaningfully changed in a very, very long time. So have been very lucky to work with incredible brands. Met Jenna and Jane at Harper and Wild. Just have been so impressed by the way they've been building this company and the product they've made and the genuine care for the world that they are building a company within. And was asked to join and could not say no. Still the new kid on the block. But very excited to be working with Harper Wild.
That's really a cool journey. You've seen a lot of different direct-to-consumer brands in your history. Let's stay with Harper Wild for a second, but I want to come back to a couple of questions about your journey. Relative to HarperWild, what's unique about the D2C space in women's intimates, and how have you worked to carve out the niche of where your brand fits?
Certainly. So I think one of the kind of nuances of intimates in direct to consumer, and especially in digitally native direct to consumer, is women don't know their size. So they don't know what it's supposed to. They know that they've hated this fit experience. So I think that, you know, the next generation of women's intimate brands that happen to be digitally native will be trying to figure out the best way to help women understand how to find a size, to help women understand that it's okay that their bodies change and the size they were a year ago may be bigger or smaller than the size that they are now. The other kind of unique thing about intimates is there's no end of life plan for intimates. You can't donate or recycle them. So for some reason, though, my shirts touch my nipples. If a bra touches your nipples, no donation center will take them. So we've been really focused on how to help consumers find a way to kind of be more responsible with the end of life of a product that is made from a stretchy material, which has a finite lifespan. And the way that plays in direct to consumer is kind of a nice dynamic. It's win-win. If we can help somebody recycle their bras, we can also help them fill their top drawer. So it's a very nice category to be playing in for that reason as well.
That's, I think, unique in that space, the ability to recycle, and with sustainability so important to so many consumers these days, that's exactly. Probably a nice position.
It is. It's not inexpensive. It's something we're committed to. We pay at our cost to recycle any brand, again, in an effort to make the world a little bit better, but also to kind of own a little bit more of her top drawer. We think that a couple times a year, she wants to clean it out, get rid of the things that don't serve her anymore. Elastic has a finite lifespan, right? About 6 months before it no longer contracts to where it used to be. It's just the reality of how these things are made. We want to be there to keep on sending new ones and finding ways to make old ones new things.
Very cool. Another thing I noticed that is unique to HarperWild is how committed you are to supporting and empowering organizations that help young women and girls. Could you tell us more about that?
Sure. So the brand was built on three pillars: comfort, convenience, and cause. We said from inception, if we're going to build a brand that serves women, we have to empower the next generation in true ways. It has to be core to what we do, not an afterthought. So started working with Girls Inc. from the beginning. But we've actually started a program that we internally call our capsule program, where every month we bring in different influencers, actors, creators to work with them, create a product, tap into their network and communities, and also work with a cause that's important to them and often important to their community. So through that program, we've gotten to work with the most interesting organizations. We seek out readers and hikers and, you know, all of these cool women that just are doing amazing things, hopefully in our product. And then we learn about what causes are important to them and have, you know, now supported a dozen or so causes every year through our work there on top of the work that we've done with Girls Inc.
That's fascinating. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit on you. You've seen a lot of different D2C brands over your time. And what are some trends you're seeing in the space? What do you think, what do you make of the last couple of years? And where do you see it going over the next couple?
Yeah, I think the biggest trend of being able to slap a sans serif font and a primary color on something that's already in your house and call it a brand is probably over. I think that, you know, before the kind of D2C boom, we really had expectations of brands to be considered and thoughtful and mean something. And there was an era of D2C brands that I think, you know, were fortunate enough to just kind of ride on the fact that people were dissatisfied with those legacy brands. And by doing things a little bit differently, could build pretty meaningful businesses. I don't know if those days exist any longer. For a couple reasons. One, consumers have higher expectations. Also, because we can't buy media in as simplified a way. CPMs on social platforms have continued to increase. Ad effectiveness has continued to decrease, and you can no longer build a, you know, $100, $200 million brand on Facebook advertising alone, which means you have to invest in that brand, invest in amplifying the message of that brand outside of the kind of search, social, and affiliate channels. I close the deal on those search, social, and affiliate channels, and continue to do the same. Another trend that I've noticed in the past couple of years is just a renewed focus on retention.
Retention is the new acquisition.
Absolutely. I think for a long time, it was cheaper to acquire a new customer than retain an existing one. And with that dynamic shifting, retention becomes more important. Also, with the availability of venture dollars to go out and do that work, we've had to be more considered and had to look inward at our existing community, existing customer base, and say, what can we do to serve them better and serve them a few more times than we'd ever thought before?
That's a couple things to tease out there. I'm curious to hear more about. We have this conversation often, and your message is consistent with what we hear from other direct-to-consumer marketers. You can grow on Meta to a certain space, but at that point, acquisition, you've kind of capped out, and you have to revisit how acquisition works. You mentioned SEO as being a big part of it. We're also hearing at some of the events we've been to that brand marketing is now becoming a central part of the acquisition campaign. Can you just tell us about how your marketing mix is evolving over the last couple of years and where you see it going over the next couple?
Certainly I think what keeps me up at night is how to expand from this middle and bottom funnel marketing mix and really building a modern direct response business, which I think most direct to consumer brands all start as, into a proper brand that is not a direct response business, but has an awareness plan and an engagement plan and certainly a direct response plan, but really looking back at smart marketers simply 2 decades ago, how did brands get introduced to the market beyond just Meta? How did these brands begin to saturate events? And I joke often, my first job was at Red Bull. I often reflect, I spent 3 years at Red Bull and candidly learned more there than I did college. I reflect on like all of these wacky things that were brand marketing and awareness plays that everyone was like, this can't work. But, you know, it sold billions and billions of cans of 80 milligrams of caffeine in carbonated water, the same amount of caffeine that's in drip coffee.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about this product. There's something special about the brand. So, I think that was of the generation before this D2C boom, this digitally native kind of heyday of brand introduction. So how do we look back and learn from kind of those marketers and say, they didn't just invest in Meta. They had events, they had partnerships, they had sponsorships, they had print, they had silly little cartoon commercials across linear. They had radio spots. Like, this was a complex mix. And we've been spoiled by very, very shallow funnels. but I don't think that that is our reality. So it keeps me up at night trying to figure out how to reverse engineer what our predecessors did.
Well, and probably very challenging for you in that you don't have the pockets of a Red Bull, but yet you want to try to engage with consumers in a variety of different ways to get out of that crowded.
Totally. Funnel. Totally. But you know what startups are, if anything, is scrappy. And, you know, Red Bull was started by two guys with $500,000 in their pocket. They bought a brand from, you know, a Korean producer of energy drinks and said, we're going to do this. You know, like, and that's how these events and Mini Coopers with a can strapped to the top that probably cost a few thousand dollars to drive around, right? Like that's, we are scrappy and we have to begin to think that way. And it's scary because we're, again, used to these very shallow funnels and used to definitive impact and incrementality studies. And, you know, this dollar went out and this order came in and let's optimize. But I don't think that that's the future of direct-to-consumer marketing. I think that we'll have, you know, much wider funnels, many more tactics at the top. I think we'll continue, the tactics at the bottom will continue to evolve. 40% of our spend is now on TikTok. It was 0% a year ago. I mean, these things will continue to evolve and we can't forget that like this is our bread and butter currently, but we also can't forsake a lot of the brand marketing work that has to make those things effective.
That's fascinating. Okay, I'm going to pivot back a little bit to another thing I wanted to tease out before. Sure. You were talking about how you're working hard to, you know, build your value with your existing customer base and, you know, presumably build LTV. What are some of the tactics and how are you approaching that?
We have a big belief that loyalty programs work. I think that we as direct-to-consumer brands have relied on loyalty program technology and therefore have these very mechanical, very similar loyalty programs, where again, brands in the past created loyalty programs that were core to their experience and became synonymous with the brand themselves. So I am bullish on creating a defensible and ownable loyalty program that means something to our customers. The other thing we're doing is simply expanding our assortment. In a slow and calculated way, listening to feedback and lots of kind of qualitative research beyond just what we're learning in the ways she shops, color or shop style or shops fabrication. We entered a new category this year. We entered sleep. We will be doing that in a more meaningful way in 2023 than we did in 2022. We have our eye on a couple other categories that are pretty far along the development cycle too, to be able to not just be her bra and underwear company, but to be her her full top drawer. Everything
I gotcha.
Be there, and we think that that's how we're going to keep her engaged: is new product, newness, doing what we do very well, making it easy to replan, incentivizing her to replan, and creating that flywheel.
Seems very strategic. And the idea to expand your relationship with the consumer, you know, to a much wider assortment of products is, you know, central to growing that lifetime value, probably.
I think so. And I think, you know, we are in a fortuitous position that cause has always been important to what we do and cause is important to her. So we're no longer this just, you know, pair of really soft underwear that she grabbed in the morning. We're one that she feels good about. And we hope that will begin to pay off in ways that weren't necessarily intended. We just knew we wanted to do the right thing. But now we think that like we have to believe and take a leap of faith that if we do the right thing and she feels good about being a part of this brand every day when she wakes up in the morning and puts on her underwear, that she'll come back and continue to buy those underwear that make her feel really good in the morning.
I gotcha. That's cool. All right. So what are some other brands that you really admire? You know, what's another direct-to-consumer brand or somebody that you'd like to hear us interview or that you'd like to hear more about?
So a couple, both in the menswear space. I try to reference kind of categories that are as far from ours as possible.
Obviously.
So we don't all end up looking and doing the exact same thing. I'm really fascinated by rowing blazers. I think Jack Carlson is just so smart. They've recently started acquiring some legacy brands and some IP that they can now become a house of brands that all similarly speak to consumer. I'm just fascinated by kind of building the next conglomerate of cool brands, all in a direct-to-consumer way. I think the product's really smart. I think they have a very clear vision when it comes to the product they make and the people that they build their brand with. Also, a brand called Tombolo, another menswear brand, really inspired by kind of the way that they build brand into everything they do, the sense of humor they have. The product is just silly and fun. Their shirts with like very fun little embroideries that you'd wear to the beach. You mentioned your summer vacation coming up in June before we hopped on air. Certainly grab yourself a Tombolo shirt for that vacation.
Okay.
I think that brand is core to what they do. I also, I don't know if they describe themselves as a menswear brand. They really merchandise on men and women and just make it a very inclusive kind of experience. Those are two brands that I've had top of mind recently.
Well, thank you. Those are great. Okay. Before your direct-to-consumer journey started, one last question for our listeners. Go back 10 years before you really were riding this roller coaster. What do you wish you'd known then that you know now?
I wish I would have known that it's okay to not know the answer to some of these questions. Part of direct-to-consumer is that we're all writing this future together. There's no one way to build a direct-to-consumer business. When you were building a traditional CPG business, there's a way you get to a certain number of sales. At this number, you have wholesale, you invest this percent in. The formula is figured out. I think that early in my career, I was looking for that formula to apply to my work, and it doesn't exist. There's so many ways we can do this. We can be weird. We can be crazy. We can try new things. What works for you might not work for me. We're all figuring this out. And I was looking for that magic formula. What percentage of dollars do you spend on brand? What percentage do you spend
right
targeting? There is no magic formula. So, when is wholesale right? Does brick and mortar make sense for us? These are all questions that like there is no one answer for. So I wish I would have known that, because I think I wasted a lot of time trying to build the machine that you could just put dollars into and enjoy the benefit. And that's not a reality.
It kind of reminds me of the phrase, good is the enemy of, perfect is the enemy of good. Sometimes you
absolutely
just gotta just dive in and start doing it.
Dive in, figure it out. Yeah. It doesn't have to always be repeatable, which is something that, one of our founders, Jenna Kerner, reminds me all the time. Let's try it, but like, could we scale it? It doesn't have to. We have a path to X number of millions. Like, let's get there and we'll figure it out from there. Like, we can figure this out over and over and over again. No, there's no pressure to do it in one way. So I wish I would have known that. I think I spent a long time trying to figure out the magic formula.
That's cool. All right, BJ, what gives you energy? Even inside, outside of work, what gets you up in the morning? What's your fun Saturday afternoon look like?
My fun. So I'm actually very lucky. I'm at a house upstate right now. I love fishing. I love getting out of the city. I love the city very much, but I love kind of driving a couple hours out of the city and enjoying the state of New York. I think New York and California both become cities, but are often forgotten that we have like these amazing, amazing parts of the state that are not cities. In work, really inspired by the folks that I work with. It sounds cliche, but surrounded by an incredible leadership team of just smart people that challenge one another's thinking and are here to support one another. So fortunate to have just an incredibly bright team working working on growth at Harper Wild. You know, it's a lot of fun. So I this is one of the first times I've been as inspired by the team as I have the customer.
Oh, wow. That's a great thing to say.
Yeah. Always been inspired by the customer. I think that's why we do direct to consumer, but this team is just as important to me as the customer that we serve.
Really cool. All right. Well, if somebody wants to get hold of you, BJ, how do they do it?
Yeah, I'm probably a little too active on LinkedIn, so feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, but super easy, bj@harperwild.com. Try to be as responsive as possible to email, and love to connect and build this network of D2C folks.
Fantastic. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us on Directly Speaking today. We hope you enjoyed the content and enjoyed the opportunity to get to know BJ along with us.